It's the Mike Tech Show, show number 664. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm your host, Mike Smith. Thank you very much for downloading and subscribing to the show. Please visit the main website at miketechshow.com. You can email me questions and suggestions for show topics at miketechshow@gmail.com. Leave me a voicemail message on Skype. The name is Mike Tech Show, all one word. Follow me on Twitter, twitter.com/miketechshow, and also facebook.com/miketechshow. This show is brought to you by Instant House Call. Remotely support your customers unattended and on demand through firewalls. Try it free by clicking on the link on my website at miketechshow.com. Use the promo code MikeTechShow for your free 15-day trial. I'm recording earlier than normal tonight because I have to take care of a few clients remotely tonight. And I had all my material ready. It's only 4 p.m. Eastern time, and I tweeted and Facebooked out that I'm going to record early. And I want to welcome everybody who's joining me early on twitch.tv/MikeTechShow. That's how you follow me live. And I have a jam-packed show. First, we're going to talk about Windows 10S and my surprise. And what happened? I have some great comments I got to share from a client on that big move I was talking about. QuickBooks migration tips. I'm going to share great tips that I learned from this last migration that happened this week from QuickBooks, just going from one machine to another for a client. Then we're going to go through some email. So let's begin with the client that's upgrading his system to a new laptop, and he brings a Microsoft Surface and gives it to my son, and we have his desktop, and we're going to migrate everything. No problem. I told him specifically, Windows 10 Pro. I gave him all the specs. My son begins by trying to create a local account. I've already doing FABs, getting everything backed up from the desktop to an external drive. He says, Dad, I can't create a local account. The only option is to use a Microsoft account. I'm like, boy, that's odd. What did Microsoft just add that to Windows 10? We actually double checked and reset the person's password for the Microsoft account and created it. When he went in, this is what's interesting. He needs Office 2010 because that's what he owns. We try to install it. It won't go. And he says, Dad, this is Windows 10S. And I'm like, oh, no. You got to be kidding me. I heard things about Windows 10S, but I've never really done anything about it. Windows 10S should be compared to a Chromebook. You are locked down. It is a streamlined version of the operating system designed to take on Google's low-cost Chromebook in the classroom. Why? Well, I know why. I mean, my client went to Best Buy, asked for Windows 10 Pro, got a Core i5, 256 gig SSD, 8 gig of RAM. He followed all my specs except the operating system, in which he trusted the sales rep. Windows 10S, just like the Chromebook, it's got its niche market. I've recommended Chromebooks to certain people that, for their mother or grandmother, they're only going to use Chrome and they're only going to get email and do some things. And I got to admit, there's been some nice extensions coming out for the Chromebook. I have one just to play with and experience. I talked about my trip when I went to Germany. I lived off a Chromebook and it was fine. But you got to be prepared for the limitations. This client absolutely has software and things that he has to run. The only programs you can run are what are available in the Windows App Store. So keep this in mind for Windows S. I will never allow a client to buy that. At least the clients, the business clients I work with, they are a Chromebook and Windows S does not fit any of their businesses. Beware of Windows S. He took the laptop back to Best Buy. They're ordering one that has Windows 10 Pro. Could you imagine a big Best Buy? They don't have any Microsoft Surface computers with Windows 10 Pro. Oh, excuse me. They had one, and it was a 64 gig SSD. That's unacceptable. They're ordering that. As soon as they get that in, he'll get it to us, and we'll transfer everything. But wanted to share my Windows S story. Now, same client whose business, they have another system and a person that manages the QuickBooks, and they're upgrading to a new computer. They already bought the computer, and now we're migrating everything. My son goes over and takes out the hard drive out of the old computer, and it's an all-in-one. But before we do that, let me give you a little bit of our process. We use SIW, the technician's license, to get passwords, because a lot of email passwords, clients, they've never had to type it in a while, they forget, they don't know. What we do is take snippets of the password screen. It will cull out all of the passwords they've used in browsers, and it's nice. But for security, they don't let you export that list. Boy, I wish they did. It would make his life so much easier. We use Snippet to go to each screen, and he scrolls down, snips it, saves it as a JPEG. QuickBooks. Always log in, hit F2. Once you successfully log in and record the password and the login name, and we hit F2 and take a snippet. F2 gives you the license info, the license key. It also tells you that particular QuickBooks file, the exact path. Very important. We save that. What we assumed, and we should not have assumed, was that there was more than one QuickBooks file. Now, I've seen them in the My Documents QuickBooks directory. So, okay, I think we got all the documents. You know, they look, you know, all fairly recent. We transfer everything. We take the hard drive out. We use the transfer option on FABS Auto Backup 7 Pro. Get QuickBooks installed. Get everything rolling. They're very happy. Later that night, we get a call. They cannot find the one QuickBooks file. Now, we copied everything. Everything's there. Here's the lesson. We had to put the hard drive back in. My son put it in. She then went into QuickBooks on the old system, went to the QuickBooks file that they couldn't find on the new system. I remoted in with Instant House Call, hit F2, and that path is the most unstandard, strange path, and it was not named right. That was terrible. At least I knew the path now. So here's the takeaways, and there's a couple things. One, if you're taking a hard drive out and the client wants you to dispose or do something with the system, don't do anything for a couple weeks. Make sure, and we always do that, so that's why we had the old system, which they gave us to recycle. We didn't, and I keep everything for 2 weeks. When we take out a hard drive, we label it, we put it in an anti-static bag, and we hand it to the client, and we say, hold on to that, just in case. So this is one of those times where we had to go back in. So my QuickBooks lesson is, sit with your client. Log in to every single QuickBooks database. Hit F2 and take a snippet and save it as a JPEG for each one of the databases that they go in. You now have the absolute exact path of the QuickBooks database file, and you're good to go, because they may have them all over the place. And this client had so many different versions. As a matter of fact, one of these versions was actually in the title of the database, had the year 2013, but it's 2018. I've seen such horrendous naming conventions with multiple periods and then QBW. This is the only way to properly document where each of these files are, and you get the license number, and you get to know how many user license they have. Just something you should have on your checklist when dealing with QuickBooks. And we learned a lesson. We thought we had them all, but in the end, everything worked out well. Want some feedback here. I have a client that we're going to be setting up live a time and attendance system. They purchased, without our advice, TimeTracks software, and this is by Pyramid Times Systems. I'm going to have a link to this. What are you using for clients that have to keep track for time and attendance for payroll purposes? They want to clock in, clock out with a card, and they want to have that go right into our, you know, we can export it and get it into QuickBooks payroll. We'd be curious as to what your experiences are and share them with me, and I'll read them on the show or record an MP3 and email it to me, and I'll be glad to play it. But would like to get some feedback on that. Big client move last week that I didn't even set foot on site. It was my electrician doing the cabling, my son, Mike Jr., and Ken, my senior tech. The three of them did such a phenomenal job over multiple days dealing with so many issues from NetCarrier, Verizon, the phone company with the PBX, with that migration, getting an email from my client saying, it's such a pleasure working with your team. They were the only ones to deliver on everything and solved other vendor problems and issues where it was a nightmare dealing with every other vendor. Thank you so much. And this is a longtime client that is a financial advisor, and their team moved from one building to another that was just, you know, maybe a mile away. And there was a lot of details that had to be worked out. I love getting that kind of a feedback from a client. That's what you got to strive for here. This is what you need to be able to take care of business, have that kind of response from your clients, including your employees, anybody working for you that represents you, and that a client can deliver that kind of praise. That's just joy to my heart. That's exactly what I want. It's exactly what I strive for my clients. It's what your goal should be when you're dealing with clients. So that was really, really nice. And I just had to say something. Let's get to some email here. This is from Bob. Xfinity modems. I've heard about this. When you hear this, I have received 2 recorded calls so far from Xfinity saying my modem needs to be replaced with an updated modem. Last time I had to do this was because they increased the speed in our area, but my personal Aris modem wasn't DOCSIS 3 and couldn't do the new speeds. So at the time, I had them put one of their modems in because I have their triple play service, so I needed the phone connections as well as the internet. The first one they installed also had wireless, which I told them I don't need because I already had a good wireless router, the ASUS RT-AC3200. Well, they said they could put it in bridge mode and let my ASUS handle the network. Well, it didn't work because all my port mappings for my gaming server and TeamSpeak server stopped working. I said, well, it was working fine with my original Aries modem. So the Xfinity tech had a different brand in his truck, so he tried that with the same result. So then they started blaming the ASUS router as being defective. Also, that is when I noticed that the wireless modems that they were installing set up an Xfinity hotspot using the modem in my house. So I had him disable that while he was configuring it. He told me that it doesn't affect my speeds, but I told him I wanted it turned off anyway. Next, I did some research and found that the Aries TM722G, which was a DOCSIS 3 telephony cable modem without wireless, and it was on their compatibility list. So I bought one and had it hooked up, and guess what? My port mappings mysteriously started working again. It has been working fine for a couple years now, and I am not experiencing any issues. However, these calls have started, so I started doing some research for a new non-wireless internet and voice modem that is Xfinity approved. They have a site, mydeviceinfo.xfinity.com, that is supposed to list out their approved modems, but guess what? All the ones they list all have wireless. Last time I looked for this info, I found a site that listed all the approved modems in a chart format, not this new wireless layout, which, by the way, didn't work in Firefox, so I had to use Chrome. I was wondering if you or any of your listeners were going through this, and I was hoping you or your listeners might know of a list that includes non-wireless internet and voice modems that are approved by Xfinity. Bob, thank you. Great email. I'm also going to reach out to Ken and see if he has any luck with this, because he's the one who told me, Mike, Comcast has started, they've been doing this, sneaking in hotspots for their wireless using the home routers that they're installing. This is a disgrace. So now, what if they don't list any modems that are non-wireless? I don't know where you stand legally with this. I'll tell you what, Verizon's not doing it yet. And if there's Fios in your area, I would definitely take a look at that as an alternative and get away from Comcast, because this is not right. And not doing it without your permission. And if you give your permission, they should give you something in order that you're providing additional hotspot access. There should be something, maybe a free month of your triple play or something each year. I don't know. Something you should be given in return for allowing that. And I don't believe one second that this isn't impacting your bandwidth. I'm with you on this. This is from Steve. Love your show. I had an issue with a program I downloaded by stupidly following a link to download Flash. Deleting the program didn't help as it kept coming back. Called Apple Tech Support and was directed to the Malwarebytes site to download the Mac program and scan for malware, which indeed it found. Apple officially supports Malwarebytes for Mac as a scanning tool. Thought you'd like to know. Steve, thank you. And I use that all the time. When I hit a Mac for any kind of work, I'm a reseller of Malwarebytes. And they also sponsor the show. I use that for all Macs and PCs that I touch. It's automatic. I make that the cost of doing business. And let me tell you, it has cleaned up a lot of Macs and has done a lot of good work in blocking and stopping things. So, Steve, thanks for the additional endorsement of Malwarebytes. A quick link here that I want to share. This was from Ken. And I signed up because it's only $5. This link is for buying a year subscription for Wired Magazine for $5. And you also get a YubiKey, a YubiKey 4. YubiKeys are great. But for $5 for a year subscription, that I couldn't turn down. I like Wired, and you can get the online version. But I figured I would share that. Now, there is one thing. You got to make sure that if you don't want to continue, it's going to auto-renew. So you got to put some kind of an alert to contact them to stop the subscription if you don't want it to auto-renew. But thought I would share that. Can't lose for $5. This email from Kate is a great, great link for an open letter to Microsoft management regarding Windows updates. And this is from a very respected industry person, Susan Bradley, author of Patch Watch, and one of her heroes, surveyed customers and sysadmin consultants. Then she published an open letter to Microsoft. And I just know you'll find this interesting. I do. Making sure that this will be in the show notes. I'm not going to read. It's a very long letter, and it blasts actually, in a very intelligent way, makes the points for what they're doing in updates for Windows 10. And it has been horrible, and it's been killing us. As a matter of fact, something just before the show, I was at a client, and I'm working on his son's laptop, and he's only got Wi-Fi, and 1803 can't come down via Wi-Fi. There's just not enough bandwidth. He's going to go out and buy a USB to Ethernet adapter just to get the update down properly. This is wrong. What they've been doing with updates, and I've been battling them for clients, and I know you've been battling them, this letter to Microsoft exactly sums up what we've all been going through. Now, is Microsoft going to listen to this? Probably not. But you feel better just reading it, knowing that, you know what, the rest of the world feels the same way. Now, will Microsoft wake up and do something about this? I don't know. But I absolutely 100% support this, the letter by Susan Bradley, and it is a very good read. That is it for today's show. I say today because, wow, there's still sunlight out. I want to thank everybody for downloading and staying subscribed to the show. Please remember to support the show. The best way to do it is through our Amazon link that I share with Carrie Holzman. The link is in the show notes. You have to come to the website, miketechshow.com. Click on the link. That session, anything you buy, a small commission comes back to support the show. And not just the Mike Tech Show, but also Tech Vets, Carrie Holzman, and myself. Thank you. That is the best way to support the show. Thank Instant House Call. Check it out. Download the free trial at instanthousecall.com. That's it. I'll be back next week. Same time, same channel. Bye-bye, everybody.
You've been listening to The Mike Tech Show, a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. Please visit techpodcast.com.